The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter number 19, text number 40, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on March 25th, 2007, in Timișoara, Romania.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 8, chapter 19, text number 40. Om Namo Bhagavat. Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tadyata vriksha unmula, Shushyat yudvartate chirat, Evang nashtamrita sadhya, Atma shushyanna sangshaya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. Purport. In this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Prapanchikataya bhujya hari sambhandi vastunah mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam phalgu katyate. One who rejects things without knowledge of their relationship to Krishna is incomplete in his renunciation. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.266. When the body is engaged in the service of the Lord, one should not consider the body material. Sometimes the spiritual body of the spiritual master is misunderstood. But Srila Rupa Goswami instructs, Prapanchikataya bhujya hari sambhandi vastunaha. The body fully engaged in Krishna's service should not be neglected as material. One who does neglect it is false in his renunciation. If the body is not properly maintained, it falls down and dries up like an uprooted tree, from which flowers and fruit can no longer be obtained. The Vedas therefore enjoin, Om iti satyam neti, Anritang tadetat pushpam palam. Vachayat satyam saheshvaro yashasvi kalyanti kirtir bhavati bhavita. Pushpam hi palang vacha satyam vadati atatan mulam. Vachayat anritam yadita vriksha avirmula shushyati. Na sa udvartata evang evanutritang vajan avirmulam atmanam karoti sa shushati sa nu uvartate tasmad anittam tavaded dayetat tu etena. The purport is that activities performed with the help of the body for the satisfaction of the Absolute Truth, Om Tat Sat, are never temporary, although performed by the temporary body. Indeed, such activities are everlasting. Therefore, the body should be properly cared for. Because the body is temporary, not permanent, one cannot expose the body to being devoured by a tiger or killed by an enemy. All precautions should be taken to protect the body. Om Agyanitimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam shtapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam. So here we are being reminded not to be artificially renounced. Srila Prabhupada explains that sense gratification is like salt. If you take too much salt, it is not palatable. If you take too little salt, it is not palatable. So one should take just the right amount of salt to make it palatable. So similarly, sense gratification in excess or in not sufficient quantity is actually not conducive for spiritual progress. For example, if one refuses to take prasadam. When I first joined this movement, one boy came hitchhiking into town. He was very, very thin. He looked like someone who'd come out of one of the Nazi concentration camps, actually. And he would not take prasadam. He was very proudly thinking that he was the most advanced of all the devotees. He wouldn't eat. He hitchhiked, continued on down the road. He didn't stay. I don't know what happened to him, but I don't think he fared well in this movement, you see. Because he was thinking, it's maya to take prasadam. It's not maya to take prasadam. One should take whatever prasadam is sufficient to keep the body fit for rendering service. You see? Our point in the Krishna consciousness process is to engage in devotional service, not to perform austerities. Austerities are accepted only insofar as they are favorable for executing devotional service. If an austerity inhibits the rendering of devotional service, then that austerity is rejected. This is not the International Society for Austerity, you see. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we accept whatever is favorable for that, and we reject whatever is unfavorable. Now, in this connection, it should be noted, one man's food is another man's poison also, you see. For one man to remain, to do the austerity of brahmachari life, that will be very conducive for his Krishna consciousness. But for another man, that's going too far. It's too austere. It will not be conducive for his service. So for another man to accept the order of grihastha life, you see, that will be favorable for his devotional service. So it's not what they call a cookie cutter program here, that everybody's exactly the same. We're a bunch of, you know, ISKCON clones, you know. Every individual has his own position of what will be favorable or unfavorable for that particular devotee. And that's why we have a spiritual master, because the spiritual master then will engage us according to our propensity in what will be favorable for our devotional service. Just like you can go to the department store and you can buy a business suit, or you can go to a tailor and you can have a business suit that is custom made, you see. So our Krishna consciousness process, it is custom made. Just as you have the tailor who custom fits your suit, so the spiritual master in that sense is like a tailor. He will custom fit a program just for that specific disciple. What amount of austerity or the lack of, you know, what will be the best thing for this particular individual to advance in Krishna consciousness? So in this way, this Krishna consciousness process is very wonderful. It's very personal. It's very warm. It's very sweet. It's not like some military organization. Of course, it does have that aspect. The one is meant to obey the the instructions of one's authorities. It does have that aspect. But along with that, it's like a family also. I know when I joined this movement, Prabhupada was the big general out there on the big high platform, the big, you know, Maharati general. And he had been recommended that I should be initiated by my temple president, His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj. And so Prabhupada accepted me. So Prabhupada now was the big master, and I was a little tiny servant. But in one letter that Prabhupada wrote me, I saw the other side of the guru-disciple relationship, which is very sweet, the intimate, sweet side of it. I had gotten initiated by a letter, actually. Prabhupada was not at the yajna. He was in London at the time. So he had Vishnu Jana Maharaj, who had made me a devotee. He was my Vartma Pradarshika Guru. He had Vishnu Jana Maharaj perform the yajna. And the nice thing about it was that when you get initiated, you give Guru Dakshina. You collect some donations and you give them to the spiritual master. So the nice thing about being at a distance from Prabhupada, him not being there, was I got to write him a letter with my Dakshina, you see. That was a special benefit of being in separation from Prabhupada. Now I got to write him a letter. So he wrote me back a letter appreciating the dakshina. Prabhupada was so meticulous, he noted the exact amount of the three checks I sent him. You see. So that way, if somebody had stolen the money, you know, then it would be detected. Prabhupada was very expert at management. Even at a simple thanking me for the checks, he wrote back exactly the amount of each check. Three checks, down to the penny, exactly how much each check had been for, you see. And he wrote me some very nice encouraging words to always remain enthusiastic. It was a very wonderful letter. But the sweetest thing about that letter, because sometimes you wonder, well, he dictated to the secretary, and the secretary, you know, how accurately did the secretary give every word that he had dictated? Sometimes you wonder those things, you see. But then when he signed his name, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, somehow Prabhupada was inspired to put a P.S. at the end in his own pen. You see. And that was very sweet, you see. He signed, and then this is something he had not dictated to the secretary, you see. He was inspired to add something extra. So what did he add? You see. This was especially sweet. Because he said, at that time, they were getting ready to go from London to Africa, to Nairobi. He said, P.S., we are going to Nairobi on Friday night. Now you may say, what's the big deal about that? Actually, it was a big deal. Because you think about it, when you write a formal letter, you know, in a corporate setting, it's, you know, all the business details, blah, 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 this thing, that thing. But to whom do you write a letter saying, P.S., we're going to Nairobi on Friday night? That's only for an intimate family member you would write a note like that, you know. You know, Aunt Sally just had a baby. You know, Uncle Joe just got a new job. You know, this intimate family stuff, you know. So when he said, P.S., we're going to Nairobi on Friday night, I went, wow. I'm not only his disciple, I'm also his son, you see. So this is the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness. It's not just some institution. It's a family relationship. You have your spiritual father, your spiritual master. You have uncles, you have brothers, sisters, cousins. It's just a wonderful family, you see, Krishna consciousness movement. So this was the wonderful quality of Srila Prabhupada, that he could make each and every one of us, there was thousands and thousands of us in this movement. But Prabhupada had the amazing quality that he could make each and every one of us feel that he personally loved us more than anyone we'd ever known could have ever loved us, you see. We felt Prabhupada's love and affection. Every single devotee felt that Prabhupada personally loved them. And it wasn't just a feeling, it was a fact. Prabhupada personally loved each and every one of us more than anyone. I mean, I had pen pals, you know, when I was in the form that I joined this movement. I had sometimes written letters back and forth to people. But the letters I got from Prabhupada, nobody wrote letters so wonderful like that. I mean, I'd never received any letter from anybody in this material world, you see, that had so much mercy, so much sweetness, so much wisdom also, packed in it. It was just absolutely incredible. So, in this way, we have the austere side of Krishna consciousness. We also have the sweet side of Krishna consciousness. The austere side is necessary. I mean, the basic austerities, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. The basic austerities are required. Because by engaging in those activities, having illicit sex, you know, eating meat, fish and eggs, gambling and getting intoxicated, even subtle even the not so heavy ones like tea and coffee, all these things are doing, they're reinforcing the false conception of the self. Especially sex, illicit sex. Because if you're not the body, then what's the point of having sex? It doesn't mean anything, you see. Sex means I think I'm the body, and I want to enjoy a body of the opposite gender. So especially illicit sex is very, very important. Even within married life, you see. I recently initiated a disciple, and I was a little shocked when I asked what are the regulated principles. She said, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no sex outside of marriage. I said, wait a minute. I corrected her right there in the initiation yoga. No illicit sex means sex is only used for procreation. It's not that married life is a license that now I can enjoy sex unlimitedly because I'm married, you see. Even within marriage, sex is only for procreation. It's not for recreation. You see? So these simple austerities, they may seem torturous. They may seem cruel. They may seem extreme. But actually, once you say, okay, let me try this, you're allowed to, let me chant Hare Krishna and try, avoiding these things. The result is that you taste a sweetness which you never experienced anywhere in this material world. There was no amount of sense gratification, either subtle or gross, that you could ever experience anywhere in this world that could ever come even close to it. I certainly had my share of enjoyment in the material world, and then my share of suffering as well. But Krishna consciousness completely relieved the suffering, and it went millions and billions of times greater than any pleasure I had had in this material world. So there's a real wonderful balance that actually happens here, you see. Do you agree to practice some simple austerities, rising early in the morning, for example, for Brahma Muhurta hour? You agree to take up some simple austerities. And then the result is you can actually enter into a transcendental experience of your spiritual identity. You can actually feel the bliss of being a spirit soul. And not having to worry about things like getting old, getting sick, and dying. You can relish your eternal relationship with God, you see. So whatever austerities we may do, they're well worth it. They're worth every bit of it. Because the result, the rewards are absolutely unlimited. And as this verse makes it very clear, we don't go too far into being austere. We're not trying to punish the body. No. We simply want that the body shall be engaged in a way that is favorable for advancing along the path of transcendental love of Godhead. That's all. We just want to see the body shall be nicely engaged so that we can steadily make progress. Step by step, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade. We want to make advancement. Be ready for the long haul. You see. Many people came and joined this movement. They were all excited. But after a few years, they left. You see. They didn't have the patience necessary. I've been around now for, 36 years in this movement. I've seen him come, I've seen him go just like an airplane terminal, you know, coming in and out. So those devotees who are willing to be patient, who are not demanding that they have to immediately see Krishna face to face or they're going to bloop, you see. Those devotees who are willing to put their faith in this process and stick to it month by month, year by year, follow the instructions of their spiritual master, follow the instructions of their temple authorities, work together cooperatively, tolerate the disagreements and the misunderstandings that come as we live together as a family, tolerate all the difficulties, and simply remain faithful and loyal to this process. Those who will do that austerity of sticking in here, hanging in here through thick and thin, I guarantee you those persons will advance in Krishna consciousness. Doesn't matter what is their position, sannyasi, brahmachari, grihastha, male, female, it doesn't matter. Anyone who will faithfully execute this process year in and year out, chanting their rounds, following the principles, working together within the ISKCON family, such persons will guaranteed reach the point where they will personally see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada ordered me, actually, in one letter. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That's a wonderful order, huh? Wow. Just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. What do you have to do to become qualified to see Krishna face to face? You have to become completely free of all lust, all anger, all greed, all laziness, all fault finding. All the contamination has to be gone. Nirmalam. You see, the heart has to become completely free of dirt. So it gives me some work to do. To clear out the dirt, which is accumulated after millions and billions of false attempts to be the Lord, the enjoyer of this quagmire, this material existence, you see. But this process works. I guarantee you, if you work this process, it will work for you. Don't think that it won't work for you, because it will. If you're not getting the result, that means you're not properly practicing the process, that's all. Anybody who says Krishna consciousness doesn't work, they're not properly practicing it, that's all. So take advantage of your superior devotees, those who are more advanced than you, who have weathered it through thick and thin longer than you. Take advantage of their association, because they have a lot of wisdom that can help you to make it down the road, you see. Take advantage of your senior devotees. Take advantage of traveling preachers who come through here, gurus, sannyasis, etc. Take advantage of senior devotees. Take advantage of all the facilities that Prabhupada is giving you, and I guarantee you, your life will be absolutely, inconceivably sublime. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Don't be shy. This is one of your last chances. Yes.
You said yesterday about the secret of devotional service.
Secret?
Secret.
Yes.
You said that it's love for the other, the others.
Is that?
You said that the secret of devotional service is the love for the others.
Yes, well, actually, devotional service is described by Krishna as Raja Guhyam. It is the topmost of all secrets. Because even though it is readily available for everyone, it's being directly offered by Krishna to everyone because they are covered by Maya, the cloud of Maya, therefore it remains a secret for them. Now, yes, I do sometimes talk about what I call the insider secrets, those who really understand, you know, the tricks, how to advance in Krishna consciousness. And certainly to have loving relationships with Vaishnavas is one of those insider secrets. It's explained clearly by Rupa Goswami. There are 6 loving exchanges with Vaishnavas, to give gifts to the Vaishnavas, to accept gifts from Vaishnavas, to distribute prasadam to the Vaishnavas, to accept prasadam from the hands of the Vaishnavas, to reveal your mind to the Vaishnavas, and listen to other Vaishnavas who wish to reveal their hearts to you. These 6 loving exchanges are definitely, you could say, one of the insider secrets of how to quickly advance. This is one of the problems that our movement has faced over the years, is we don't know how to love the devotees, you see. Now, if we clearly study the scriptures, we will see that one who doesn't know how to properly love the devotees, they are called what? Kanishta Adhikari. They are materialistic devotee. One who says, well, I'll bow down to the deity, but I won't bow down to the devotees, you see. They're materialistic. They will never advance in Krishna consciousness. Unless one can properly love and respect all the devotees, if one harbors some ill will towards any, even one particular devotee, you see, then one will not make any progress in Krishna consciousness. One will remain as a Kanishta Adhikari, materialistic devotee. So we have to learn how to love and respect even the devotees we disagree with, even the ones that it's hard to get along with, still, we have to have love and respect for them, and deal with them in a very nice, respectful way, you see. That will enable us to come to the platform of Majjhama Adhikari. And then from Majjhama Adhikari, is that good enough to remain a Majjhama Adhikari? No, we are meant to progress to Uttama Adhikari, become completely, spotlessly pure Vaishnavas. We are meant to become Uttama Adhikari, actually, not just, oh, I'm a Majjhama, that's good enough. I can just relax now. I don't have to try to purify myself. I'm a Majjhama Adhikari. I'm a well-respected devotee around ISKCON. That's good enough now, you see. No, it's not good enough to be a well-respected member of ISKCON. You have to become a pure devotee, Shuddha Bhakta. You have to push yourself more to come to that level where you can see Krishna face to face. You have to come to the topmost platform. Otherwise, you know, you just, if you don't move forward, the river that doesn't keep flowing towards the sea, if it stops flowing, what does it become? Stagnant. Stagnant water is not very nice for taking your bath, you see. Flowing water is nice water. So therefore, you must always be pushing yourself to advance more. Now I have a big position, you see. I don't need to advance anymore. I finally got a position now. I got recognized, you know. Now I'm a guru. I have disciples all over the world. Now I don't have to try to advance anymore. I've got it made, you know. They bow down to me. They give me dakshina. I don't have to. I can just enjoy myself. No. I have to always be thinking. I have to push myself more. Become more purified, Get more of the dirt out, until it's all completely gone, you see. In this way, we have to always be trying to advance ourselves on the pathway of Krishna consciousness. And having that loving relationship with the devotees, that's essential. Unless that is there, you will not make any progress. Not possible. You will not make any progress in Krishna consciousness. unless you have learned how to have loving relationships with Vaishnavas. Next question. Yes. I saw you first. Sometimes austerities come by themselves, okay?
Yes. Sometimes it seems it's too much for us.
Uh-huh.
So how can we know the border, not to cross the line? I mean, when it becomes too much and then somehow our body does not become fit anymore to practice the service.
Well, Krishna will never put you in a situation which is more difficult than what you can handle. Sometimes we think it's too much for us to handle. You know, you're out preaching and some heavy thing happens. And there's not much you can do about it. You're stuck in a very difficult situation sometimes in preaching. So we have to have faith in Krishna. He's not going to put us in a more difficult situation than we can handle. Sometimes we wonder, well, how is Krishna going to get me out of this one? I remember being detained at the Russian border. A very remote border station. We were detained there. We had the proper paperwork to get in the country, but they didn't know what to make of my duty, is it? And they didn't speak a word of English. I didn't speak a word of Russian. There was no way to explain why I had this cloth wrapped around the lower half of my body, and they couldn't understand. They thought I was from Mars or something, you see. They didn't know what to do. They took my passport, they took it to some office, they left me standing out there in the cold for I don't know how long. No, in the cold, no place to sit, just standing there, not knowing what's going on. So sometimes we're put in difficult situations, and we have to understand, well, Krishna is not going to put me in it. Krishna is the ultimate controller. He's behind everything that's happening. I just have to have complete faith in Krishna and depend on him for the result. And then everything worked out. They called us into an office, and again, there was no... We couldn't speak to each other. He called me in, but I had the phone number of my host who had invited me to Russia. So I just handed him the phone number. And he called him up, and he talked to him, and then he convinced him I was okay to allow into the country. So sometimes we do face difficulties, but they're never going to be more than we can handle. Krishna will give us tests, but he'll never give us tests that we cannot pass. Now, if it's a choice, if you have a choice of whether you should go into a situation or whether you should not go into that situation, and it's not clear to you whether you should go or not, then you should ask a superior authority. Just ask your spiritual master, ask your temple president. You know, if it's not clear to you whether you're going too far, you know, if somebody invites you to go on book distribution in Baghdad, for example, you may think, well, maybe that's going a little too far. Maybe that's, you know, maybe I shouldn't right now try to go on traveling Sankirtan to Baghdad. If you're not sure in those situations, then ask a superior authority. But Krishna, if you're sincerely trying to serve Krishna, Teishang Satati Yuktanang Bhajatang Pati Purvakam, Krishna will give the intelligence. You know, what is favorable and what is not favorable. And when in doubt, ask your guru, ask a superior Vaishnava for guidance on what to do. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
Sometimes when we do devotional activities for Krishna, we may think that we expect something in return.
Sometimes when you feel devotional ecstasy? When you do devotional service?
Yes.
Okay.
We may expect some benefits in return. Is this okay?
We sometimes.
We expect benefits in return. Is this okay?
Well, the benefits are guaranteed by Krishna. That's a fact. To expect benefits from your service is, I mean, it's just, it's having faith in the words of the Bhagavad Gita. There's nothing wrong. Krishna says, inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. But if you start to demand how you want those benefits to come, then there's a problem. You see? If you start saying, well, Krishna, why are you not giving this? Why are you not benefiting? No, Krishna is benefiting. For every devotional activity you perform, you're receiving benefit. Now, whether you recognize that benefit or not, that's another matter. But you are absolutely being benefited for every second of devotional service that you engage in. For every minute that you hear the transcendental teachings of the Lord, for every minute you chant the holy names, for every second that you engage your body in doing devotional activities, bowing down, circumambulating the Tulsi Devi, etc., every single activity you perform in devotional service, you are rewarded by Krishna. It does come. That's a fact. And to expect that to come, that is bona fide. But to demand, I want it to come in this way, that is bogus. That means you're trying to tell Krishna what to do. You have to let him decide how the benefit is going to be given to you. Not according to the way you want it to come. You understand? Yes. So, I know we're going a little over time, but this is my last Bhagavatam class. If it's okay. One more question?
Yes, we can allow.
One more?
There is one more question.
Ah, okay. All right.
How can we stop committing the 10th offense to the holy names that of maintaining material attachment?
Yes. Very good question. How can we avoid the 10th offense of maintaining material attachments? Well, this is another one of those insider secrets. The way to overcome material attachments is you have to develop spiritual attachments. Your nature is to be attached. You cannot change that nature. You may try to alter it by Mayavadi philosophy, but you'll never be successful. Your nature is to be attached. Okay? So, you have to become attached to spiritual things. The holy name of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the teachings of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna, spiritual master, deities, Tulsi Devi. There's so many wonderful things to become attached to. Just like I have a very strong spiritual attachment, there was one poster of Radha and Krishna I discovered in 1968, and that particular poster attracted me to become Krishna conscious. Now, I don't see it very much around ISKCON, but the other day when I arrived in Sofia, there it was in the temple room, that exact poster. And so I'm very attached to that particular poster, Radha Govinda. I actually had them scan it for me, a high quality, super high quality scan. I mean, that's how attached I am to it. I wanted to have the best quality copy of that in my computer so I can print it out whenever I want and have a big, huge... I mean, I'm very attached to that, you see. Because that is the painting of Radha and Krishna which attracted me to the spiritual life, you see, Krishna consciousness. So to have spiritual attachments is very wonderful. And the more you can have, the better. Just like you may go to some time and attend some festival of devotees. And in your mind, you always remember, you have an attachment for the memories of that festival. Or just like, you know, I have so many attachments, I'm remembering when I was there with Prabhupada and he was saying this and he did this and he looked at me in this way. And these are wonderful attachments. So in this way, you have to fill your heart up with attachments. And so many that it crowds out all the material attachments. There's no room anymore. When the material attachments come to the hotel of your heart to check in, there'll be a big sign, no vacancy. So in this way. So I know we'll go ahead and stop here. And we thank you all very much. If anyone has a desire to personally inquire for me. You can come for a darshan with me today. The day is open for you all. Anyone who wants to meet with me is welcome to do that on any subject matter you'd like to inquire. And Mataji is also available. Any of the ladies would like to meet with her. I'm sure that's all right. You don't mind. It's okay. I took the liberty, but because I know they may like to talk with you also. So we're available today. This is our last day here, this visit. We would like to come again because now we're attached to you all. You see? We have some new spiritual attachment. The Timisoara devotees are so sweet and wonderful. So we have our attachments now to you all. So, thank you very much. Grantharad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.